Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sinai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick for you, if you are looking for some wrestling in the next couple of days, we got some options for you. Tonight, WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. 3-2-1 tonight at the Battle Palace, happening in Seattle, Washington. You also have First Wrestling in Fargo, North Dakota. Championship Wrestling in Stickleyville, Virginia. And Hood Slam happening in Oakland, California. There is also the first night of WrestleCade in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. WrestleCade goes from tonight through Sunday. Tomorrow night, if you're looking for some pro wrestling, World's Finest Wrestling in Connersville, Indiana. Funkified Wrestling in Warsaw, Indiana. Without a Cause in Everett, Washington. And Defy happening tomorrow night in Seattle, Washington. So there's lots out there, lots of great wrestling. So definitely get out there and support your local independents wherever they may be. Great time for pro wrestling right now. QT, lots happening this week, it seems like.
Funkified Wrestling sounds pretty good. Kind of like a throwback to the 70s. Yes. Funkified.
It is.
I'm just saying some of the wrestlers might come to the ring with the entrance music of the Parliament Funkadelic.
Are you saying Anthony Toatelli might go down to the ring to the strains of Parliament Funkadelic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think any wrestler has any wrestlers these days. They usually don't go back and do the research into bands of the 70s.
I see.
A lot of wrestlers aren't really musicologists or historians. That's what I'm saying.
Well, QT, whom on the Funkified Wrestling Federation roster do you think most does their music history assignments? Would it be perhaps Lightning Bolt Johnson or maybe Drew Skills?
I think Drew Skills would be in there, yes. Yes.
Now, QT, speaking of Drew Skills, I don't think he has won a fruit pie in an extremely long time. Is there any chance he'll be in the running for a fruit pie when you release this week's top 9 7/8 Pacific Northwest wrestler rankings?
Well, we do stick strictly to the Northwest sign guy.
Really? Then how's come like Cooter is often listed, Beast Barnett's often listed, the USS Arizona has won, Donald Trump has been number one. None of these people based in the Pacific Northwest.
Well,
one of them's even a battleship.
You have to pay your respects to Donald Trump. I mean, he transcends the nation. Yes, I mean, you got to have an exception to the rule to any person that stepped into the ring and stared into Stone Cold Steve Austin's eyes. Yes, that automatically qualifies him.
Well, he did do that. I'm just saying you contradicted yourself by saying you stick strictly to the Northwest when, in fact, that has been proven false.
Maybe in 2020 I'll have to tighten up that rule a little bit. Yes.
So you're saying it's the last chance for Drew Skills to get that number one ranking one more time and be awarded a fruit pie? Because Drew Skills loves fruit pies.
He does, huh? What's his favorite flavor?
I believe apple.
Really? I found a lot of the apples in the fruit pie to be rather stiff.
Well, maybe he likes stiff apples. I know he likes stiff potatoes. He hates that.
Well, he does. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wow, all right. Now, Cyan, did you know that Bootsy Collins was the bass player for Parliament Funkadelic? Bootsy Collins.
Yes, I was aware.
Well, okay. Now, are you also aware that the bass player for Primus does the twangy guitar for Seinfeld? That bop, da-li-loop, da-li-loop. Did you know any of that? The bass guitar?
I did not know that, but can you confirm that former Pacific Northwest number one ranked wrestler Dave Havoc Hollenbeck knew that?
Oh, I'm not sure on that. I don't know. I know Dave Hollenbeck is pretty proud of the track and field statistics at Washington High School. That's for sure.
But that doesn't tell us if he knew about this musical history.
That's true. And I'm glad you mentioned Dave Hollenbeck, because I'm working to get a fruit pie hung near the track and field statistics. A fruit pie. Yes.
Are you going to contact the school and talk to the principal, or are you just going to sneak in there on a Sunday and glue a fruit pie to the wall?
Well, you know, we like with rubber cement. Yes, I found that sneakery is pretty useful. Yes, maybe not so much in this day and age of cameras. That's kind of thrown kind of like a loop into my daily modus operandi of stuff, of promoting wrestling in the Northwest. And in cameras. You've really got to scout the place out. Yes.
Now, have you been scouting out this school to see their security weaknesses?
Boy, I can't give that away. With our thousands of listeners, I'd be busted in a moment, even if I parked in the parking lot. And I know their parking lot has cameras. I'd have to walk to the school. Oops.
Would you park your car perhaps at the B&I market and then walk to the school from there?
Well, that's always certainly an idea, yes.
One of my
certainly
better ones, I'd say.
Not too bad. Now, Sign. Yeah, I saw that YouTube video, Eli Daniels with Matthias Darkthorn versus Chris, the Hype Henry, and I was very impressed with the walls of that place. They were that venue. They had a big screen, like a projector screen, and they had works of art on the building. If you look at one side of the ring, there's only one row of people that can sit. It's kind of like La Prabonita's at Bremerton, Washington. And above this side of this building, against a backdrop of burgundy red walls, there's a painting with a vase and flowers in it. That might be the most artistic venue I have ever seen in a wrestling venue, artistic venue of the place. Three works of art on a wall that I can see. Yes.
Now, what would you say are the top three most artistic venues that you've ever been to in a professional wrestling setting?
The most artistic?
Yes.
Oh, I'd say that one place where we went to in Bremerton, the VFW Hall, where we picked up Casey Carlisle and drove her to.
I believe that was an Elks Lodge.
Yes, Elks Lodge, yes. I often get the two confused, Elks Lodge and VFWs.
You also get them confused with Eagles Halls.
Well, that's true, yes. So I'd say that was an artistic venue, yes. And then the National Guard Armory down by the Columbia River on the Oregon-Washington border. That was kind of a artistic building.
So the National Guard Armory.
Well, I also think that might have been an Elks Lodge. Boy,
and that was in Vancouver?
No, it was right near. It was kind of close to Fort Vancouver. It was east of Fort Vancouver, though. East. Yes.
I see.
It was kind of like an Elks VFW lodge. Yes. Many, many Shriners on the wall.
Now, wasn't Richie Cunningham's father a Shriner during Happy Days?
No. Oh, boy. The first organization that jumped out on my mind was a Grand Poobah, but I believe that was Fred Flintstone. Grand Poobah.
Yeah, he definitely. I don't think that Fred Flintstone was a Grand Poobah. He always wanted to be.
Now wait a second. Hold a second. He didn't belong to the Grand Poobah. He belonged to the Water Buffaloes.
Yeah, but the Grand Poobah was the leader of the Water Buffaloes.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, I think that would have been great for Chris the Hype Henry if he came out in a Water Buffalo hat, kind of like the Grand Poobah. Yes.
I see. Well, I guess you can suggest it to him.
I mean, they had kind of like the barrel cactus type hats with the horns out off the side. The horns.
Now, QT, have you ever worn a Water Buffalo hat to a wrestling show? And if not, would you be willing to do so in the next 3 weeks?
I think if you made one out of paper mache around a frame of coat hangers to reinforce the paper mache and give it something to hang on to, a mesh, if you will, maybe like how rebarb, you know, kind of gives concrete something to hang on to. I think I would do that for charity. Yes, I would wear a Grand Poobah hat.
That would be huge.
I mean, if Gregor Petrov could autograph this Grand Poobah hat, and maybe Patty from Patty's Home Plate, it would eventually wind up in Patty's Home Plate. Grand Poobah hat. She has a lot of knickknacks
at her place.
So you're thinking
the brand new location at Patty's Home Plate should have a Grand Poobah hat in it.
Oh, did she move?
Yeah, she is in the process of moving to a new location. They lost the lease there in St. John's, and they are packing up and moving to a new location a few miles away.
Ooh, what's going in at the old location?
I believe they're going to tear that down and build condos.
What? Kind of like Seattle, huh?
I think so.
Wow, that'll lose that's kind of losing a part of its heritage in that town. A little bit of heritage.
A little bit, yeah. Apparently, someone bought the property, and so the landlord told Patty she had to be out by the end of the month, which of course is tomorrow.
Wow. How big are these condos going to be? How many stories?
That I do not know.
Does a condo have to be more than one story?
Well, possibly. I have not learned anything in the 3 seconds since you last asked.
Holy smokes, that's pretty huge news. I wonder if Patty has all moved out or if she's rushing things.
She's in the process. I believe you can still buy some of the items she had for sale, 20 cents on the dollar, QT, but you need to get down there quick like a bunny rabbit.
Oh, wow, that is huge news. How's her fractured finger doing? A lot of wrestlers want to know her fractured finger.
I'm hoping that it's doing well.
Wow. Well, okay, so I'm going to run this idea of a grand poobah hat, which you may build. I will wear to the next Blue Collar Wrestling.
Oh, okay. So if we get you a grand poobah hat, you will wear it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That would be huge. Now, you wouldn't hide a brick under the hat to slip it to Kevin Brandt, would you?
Oh, a brick? No. No, bricks are so passe. Yeah. They're so 90-ish. Yes. I guess a hat would have to have room for some foreign objects, though. Even though I've always had Paw's back. Yes.
Paul Frankshein, yes.
Yes. Boy, now what did you think about the wrestling venue of where Chris the Hype Henry wrestled Eli Daniels with that Matthias Darkthorn at his side? That was like those walls and the art and the screen projector. Oh, that was a very nice place. What did you think of that?
It was a very nice looking venue. I'm sure they have a lot of great shows there.
The bunking around the ring matched the walls, both the same color, and the ring ropes. It was the first time I've ever seen the ring ropes, the bunting around the ring, and the walls match. They were very color coordinated. Yes.
Now you're positive that's the first time that's ever happened?
Pretty positive, yes. Whenever I've been to the show, it's even rare that the ring ropes all match. Usually one of them's a different color. I'm very observant in these matters. Yes.
I see. So if someone points out another venue whose colors match the ring skirt and or the ropes, you'd be willing to give them a fruit pie for pointing out the error of your ways.
If that wrestler was Drew Skills, yes.
It was a different wrestler. Let's say it was, Eddie Pearl from 4 Minutes of Heat.
Oh, well, I'd certainly look at videos of Eddie Pearl, yes. Is he any relation to Pearl Jam?
I don't
Eddie
think
Pearl?
That he is.
Oh, okay. Now, Sign, you know those condos going in at Patty's home plate? What is that one movie venue in Seattle that saw all the big grunge bands pass through? Was it that? It was named the theater, wasn't it? The theater.
Moore Theater.
Moore Theater. I think that might be it. Weren't they going to tear that down and put condos in its place?
You might be thinking of El Corazon.
Let me do a quick search there. There's like two places in El Corazon did see quite a. I know they saw Alice in Chains, didn't they?
A lot of big name bands have passed through El Corazon over the years.
No, this was another. Let me see now. It was a battle for this one place. They really want to put some condos in there, but there's a movement to preserve it. Let me see now. Rock. Okay, theaters. Theaters in Seattle. This. I'm doing a search right now. Oh, it could be Paramount Theater.
The Paramount, it could be.
Yeah. Let me double check it. Right, it's coming up here. I think Mudhoney and Nirvana played there.
They've played pretty much every venue there is in Seattle as long as it's in the last, say, 25 years.
Boy, my computer's pretty slow.
I'm going to guess it takes it 11 and a half minutes to run a mile.
Oh, that could be, yes. I'd like to see a computer run a mile. Okay,
well, I'm sure at some point it will with the advent of robots. I bet one of the Olympic runners eventually will be a robot.
Oh, probably, yes. They had that one runner from South Africa with artificial knees with those kind of like spring hooks running the 400 meters. Pistorius was his name. I think Roger Pistorius, he got jailed for something. Yes.
Well, maybe for being part computer.
Yeah, probably, like the Bionic Man. He was part computer. No, it's not. It looks like the Paramount.
Was.
What's that?
Lee Major sure was a part computer there.
Yeah, I saw an episode where he used his bionic eyes to zero in on the bowling pins, and he got a turkey, and he came from behind and beat a person.
Turkey?
Yes.
Wow. You have to be pretty mad to beat a person with a turkey.
Pretty much, yes. Now, speaking of which,
you ever beaten anyone with a turkey? Like maybe at a Safeway.
What? Well, sometimes people are very desperate to get the last turkey. Like there's a run on the store to get the butterball turkeys. Yes, I've seen that happen. People are
now, were you involved in this incident?
I was involved in one like in 1982, yes.
Oh, wow. Now, did you take the turkey and execute a windmill punch on some little old lady with the turkey in your hand?
Sad to say, I ripped a turkey out of a lady's hand, and she pretty much got the last one. He and I arrived almost at the same time, and I was very desperate. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $30 for that turkey. And it was only like about 5 pounds. And she wouldn't give it up. And I said, give me that turkey, you old bag. And I ripped it out of her hands, and I started running from the store, and she started yelling, stop that man! He took my last turkey! It was a scene right out of Seinfeld when Jerry stole the marble rye.
Very interesting. So you were going to shoplift the turkey.
To this day, I believe that scene may have somehow made its way to Jerry Seinfeld. Yes.
You think he watched you? You thought you were watching at the Safeway and saw you attack this little lady for her turkey? Is that what you're trying to say? And you were going to shoplift it. You were going to run out of the store with it before you made it through the checkout.
Well, no, in sheer desperation, when I was running with a turkey to the exits, I realized what I was doing, and I took that $30 that I was going to give to the old lady, and I threw it at a cash register person. So, technically, I didn't shoplift, you know.
Now, were you actually going to go back later for your change?
My street smarts, though, honed by years in the Vente Lattes on the Longview-Kelso border prevented me from doing so. I had a street sense that they would somehow maybe they weren't satisfied with that $30 for that miserable turkey, which was only 6 pounds. It was a butterball, though. So it wasn't, I guess, that miserable. But, you know, I think there might have been some charges. Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, QT, have you ever watched the AWA's Team Challenge Series when Colonel DeBeers and Jake the Milkman Milliman did battle over a frozen turkey?
Ooh, no, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should go way out of your way to watch it. It was a seminal moment in professional wrestling.
Man, did they have valets in that wrestling match? Did Colonel DeBeers have an escort?
He did not. It was a battle royal. They had barred fans from the building because they were afraid fans would interfere.
You mean they were worried a fan might sneak down to the ring and steal the turkey?
Yes.
What? Oh, all right. Wow. Well, am I to presume that the winner of this battle royal did win the turkey?
Well, sort of. It looked like Colonel DeBeers was going to win it, and then Jake Milliman actually won it. They did battle over the turkey. There was a feud that went on for weeks.
Man, boy, I guess they were slightly in financial straits to battle over a turkey that much.
Well, the AWA was in bad shape at that point in time.
Oh, it was.
They didn't last a lot longer. That would have been like 1989.
Oh, okay. Wow, 89, boy. What a seminal year 89 was. Lots of things happened in 89.
That's true. The NWA was featuring Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat in some of the best in-ring matches we have ever seen. And the AWA had a battle for a turkey.
Wow. I'm going to – that'll be my homework assignment to look that up, yes.
Oh, that would be huge.
Do you remember who was in the 1989 World Series sign guy?
Yes, it was San Francisco and Oakland.
Yeah, it was the Bay Area Series.
Yes. It was. It was interrupted by the earthquake.
Yep, and Oakland did defeat Toronto 4-1, and the managers were Tony La Russa and Roger Craig.
That is all very accurate.
Yes, and you know that the Giants, they had a record of 92-70, not too bad, pretty good. But the Oakland A's were 99-63. That's a very good record to get in the World Series.
Oakland had an extremely strong team in the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, well, they got beat 4-1, though.
4-1. Yeah. Now, they also had three straight rookies of the year. Can you name them all, QT?
Who's that, the Oakland A's?
Yes.
At that time, I believe it would have been Mark McGwire and one and Jose Canseco another?
Yes. You're missing one Rookie of the Year.
Oh, boy. Who could that have been? Let me see. Let's see. Would it have been a pitcher? Maybe.
No.
All right. Let me see. Dave Henderson?
Nope.
Okay. Now, wait a second. We're talking Oakland A's, right?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, let me see. Let me see. Was Ken Phelps on the A's at that time? Ken Phelps?
No.
Okay. Doug Jennings?
Nope.
Jamie Quirk. No, Jamie wouldn't have been he wasn't that strong of a player. I think he was only hitting 200. Let me see. Glenn Hubbard?
Nope.
Okay, my final guess is Ron Hasse.
Incorrect.
Now,
the third
on.
Of the year for Oakland during that time, Walter Weiss, the shortstop.
Walter White. Oh.
Walter White.
Oh, okay. Wow, he was rookie of the year, huh? Jeez.
He was.
That's
he sort of washed out very quickly. He had a few strong years and then sort of washed out of the league from there.
Whoa. That's strange. Wow, okay. Huh. When did Billy Beane join the Oakland A's?
The late 80s, like 85-ish, 86 or somewhere in there.
Oh, okay. You know, I think Mike Moore was a member of the 88 Oakland A's, and he went on to Seattle, I think. Mike Moore.
I believe you're right.
Oh, okay. Wow, but anyway, I don't know how this really ties into stealing a turkey from a restaurant from an old lady, like a scene out of Seinfeld, the Martle Rye.
I'm not sure, but if Jake Milliman isn't at least 9 1/4 for having stolen a turkey from Colonel De Beers, I'll have lost all faith in humanity.
Is there any chance that I could reenact that scene with the Golden Songbird, and I'll let the Golden Songbird be Jerry Seinfeld if I could be the old lady, but I couldn't get to wear my Grand Poobah hat?
Was the old lady at the time wearing a Grand Poobah hat?
No, and this is what's going to make it distinct and unique.
I'm not sure she would agree to that then.
Boy, if we could just film that scene and then send it to Jerry Seinfeld. I don't know. I have a feeling Jerry Seinfeld is inundated with people that have stars in their eyes and probably send them their remake of that stealing Marble Rye scene. Yes.
Now, have you ever had a sandwich using Marble Rye QT? And if so, did you use mustard on it?
Well, you know, I always looked at that Marble Rye in that Jerry Seinfeld episode and think that if somehow they could toast it a lot and make it into a pretzel. Can you indeed make an already functioning Marble Rye into a pretzel? Like if you cut it into strips and you bake it somehow. Can you do that?
Oh, I don't see why not.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll do some research into that and get back into you. You know, I think if you took like a loaf of bread and baked it in the oven, it becomes a crouton, though. A crouton.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I guess I could get to get... has the Golden Songbird ever taken a loaf of bread, put it in the oven, and just chopped it up into croutons? Has she done that?
I cannot confirm or deny that at this point.
Have any of the member of Team Bad Needs done that?
It's doubtful.
How about Libby Miller?
Well, she might have.
You want me to send her a message right now? Because I'll do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Uh-oh. All right, let me see. Boy, this is going to be, okay, let me see. I'll try to contact her directly. Okay, here we go. Libby Miller. Okay, here we go. Libby Miller, okay. Boy, I've got to add her as a friend. Boy, that's a long time coming. Okay, here we go. Let me see. I might have the wrong one, though. Did I click on the wrong one? Okay, let me see now. Office assistant at Indiana Wesleyan University. That's her. I'm pretty sure. Well, let me click.
That sounds right.
Oh, all right. Here we go. Yes. Boy, she's got a quite a nice pictures here. Okay, here we go. Now, how do I do this? Okay, here we go. Libby Miller, okay. She's, okay. Okay, here we go. Friend request sent. Here we go. I got to click on the message. Here we go. Libby Miller. I will do this as I type. Libby. Here we go. Libby. QT Votes here. Live on Turnbuckle Turmoil. That's very important. Live on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes, Turnbuckle Turmoil. A question. Question for you. Can you take a... Oh, I missed... Okay. Can you take a marble rye like the one in the Seinfeld episode cut it into strips bake in a oven and have this turn into croutons. This is live on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Okay. Should I say hi to Dave the Beast Barnett?
Well, I don't know if she sees Beast Barnett very often. Maybe you could throw in Kinsey Alexander.
Oh, all right. Just say hi to Kinsey Alexander. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Libby QT Vokes here, live on Turnbuckle Turmoil. A question for you. Can you take a marble rye, like the one in the Seinfeld episode, cut it into strips, bake in a oven, and have this turn into croutons? This is live on the Turnbuckle Turmoil. Live on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Say hi to Kinsey Alexander. Okay, very good. I'll just wait a couple minutes. See if she answers. This is very important. All right. Well, sign. Hopefully, the Golden Songbird will get on that Grand Poobah hat. Kind of looking forward to wearing that in 2020.
I think that'll be huge. As long as you don't have, like, say, a brick under that hat that you're going to slip to Kevin Brandt. But you said that bricks were passe, so it shouldn't be a problem.
No, and I don't think any fans at Blue Collar Wrestling would rip this hat off my head and stuff it down their pants.
Marion might.
I'll stay away from her. Far away. Yes.
Now, what would you do if Marion grabbed your hat, stuffed it down her pants, and then placed it right back on your head within 10 seconds?
Well, I'd probably go into shock, and I would at least want it dry cleaned. At least dry cleaned. Yes.
Now, did you ever replace the wig that she stuffed down her pants, QT? That's what people want to know. And when I say people, I pretty much mean the Soul Shooters.
No, I tell the Soul Shooters that I haven't. But I need to do that. I think I need to commit to that Rastafarian wig in January.
That'd be huge.
Yes, I've got to make a trip up north very quickly.
I'm going to guess 38 minutes. That'd be pretty quick.
What? I don't think I've, I don't, let me see now. Wait a second. I'm at exit 132. Could I make it into Seattle in 30? I could. 32, 42, 52, 62. Yeah, I think the exit to Seneca Street is exit 166, isn't it? Seneca Street.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, but that wig shop isn't that. The wig shop is like, well, near your exit, 174. 175. The wig shop.
I think you could still make it if you really tried.
Okay. Yes. I think sometime in January. I now have the funds to do it. Actually, I had the funds 40 years ago, but.
Sometime in January, yeah. I'm going to guess January 2nd.
Ooh, boy. That is Tuesday, isn't it?
Looks like it's a Thursday.
It is? Oh.
That's what my calendar says.
Maybe. I'd rather do it, I think. Is the store open on like a Saturday?
I believe it would be.
A Saturday and a cup of coffee might be pretty good in January. Yes.
That wouldn't be bad.
Saturday. Oh, okay.
So what you're
now,
saying is like January the 4th.
Oh, I don't know about the 4th. I just picked up some calendars free of charge from a Goodyear tire shop near me. It cut my overhead fantastically. I mean, I've got 6 calendars in the last 2 years from that place, no charge. I'll check the calendar and set up a time. So it'll be a cup of coffee and a wig purchase. Yes.
Now, will this cup of coffee also include perhaps a muffin?
Ooh, a blueberry muffin. That jumps immediately to mind. Blueberry muffin.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, you know, that I better get this done fairly quickly. I can only hope that the cup of coffee turns out like your Battle Zone coffee that you had in Idaho. Is it Battle Zone?
That's Proof Coffee.
Oh, yeah. You said that was pretty good. So hopefully I can get a cup of coffee like that in Seattle while I'm picking up my wig and maybe my Grand Poobah hat from the Golden Songbird.
That'd be huge.
Could I put the wig on top of the Grand Poobah hat, though? Could I do that?
I don't see why not.
What would Gregor Petrov do when he sees this Grand Poobah hat with a wig on it being worn?
He'd probably not even flinch.
Now, Sign, is it can you technically wear like something like a Grand Poobah hat with a wig on top of it and actually call it a wig because it's not really sitting on your head? It's kind of connected to your head.
I would think so.
Because it has a barrier between, you know, your hat and the head. The wig's not actually touching your head, per se. All right, I'll ask Dave Holland back that question. I will. In fact, I will try to do this live. This is huge. We've never asked anyone live questions before, I don't think. Well, of course
we do it on a regular basis.
Oh, okay. Can you remember who? Can you remember who, though?
You asked me several questions live. You've asked Kevin Brandt questions live. I believe Von Hess.
We didn't have him on the show, but just out of random, we asked someone who was not scheduled.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Dave Hollenbach, I see, is live now. Maybe I can get in the – yes, I'll try to get in this question before we sign off the air. Here we go. I am typing. This is very
okay.
Wrestling related.
I'm gonna ruin his
Here we
birthday
go.
Party, but go ahead.
Okay.
Dave, this is QT folks live on the
Turnbuckle
Turmoil show. Okay, let me see. I'm going to put this in a colored box. Now let me see. I am posting it to his Facebook page. Here we go. And sign guy. Live. Question. Oops. Wait a second. Question. I got the caps lock on. Here we go. Question. If I was to wear a grand, oh, wait a second, G-R-A and grand, poobah, how do you spell poobah?
P-U-B-A-H.
Oh, all right, grand poobah hat to a wrestling event. And I'm going to emphasize with no foreign object underneath. And on top of the hat, I wore like a Bob Marley wig, essentially, E-S-S-E-N-T-I-A-L-L-Y, essentially, do I wear the wig since it's not touching you, C-H, touching my head? Okay, please answer ANSW post haste if you can, because we are off the air. The A, ooh. Okay, here we go. Air in 5 minutes. QT folks.
Don't forget to say
okay.
PS happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, okay. PS happy birthday. There we go.
Okay, yeah, I do have to leave in about 3.5 to 4 minutes. But even though my commute time is only 1 minute, hopefully he can see this and ponder this wrestling question. Okay.
That would be huge. Now, QT, can we expect this week's top 9 7/8 wrestler rankings, say, tonight around 11:30 p.m. Pacific time?
I think when I get back from work, I could do this. Keeping in mind, Sonny O'Mara might make an appearance, the final appearance of 2019, Sonny O'Mara.
Why, he still has a few weeks left.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Somehow I thought I was already in December. See,
I
write out these last-minute questions, I get flustered. Yes, very much flustered.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Now, will these rankings appear on the Facebook page of one Drew Skills?
Oh, well, I can contact Drew and ask him. Yeah, okay.
That would be huge.
All right, I'll try to contact him. Now, yeah, I will. And but gee, maybe Grant Dollar. Perhaps.
Drew would even be bigger.
All right, I'll just mark that down. Now, if you go to Dave Hollenbach's Facebook page, I posed the start of this question on a very nice background, a pumpkin background.
Nice.
Pumpkin. Boy, you'll look forward to this. Not
he
quite
probably
responding
will.
Yet. Oh, okay. Let me see. And Sign Guy Live, if I was to wear a Grand Poobah hat to a wrestling event with no foreign object underneath, and on top of that, I wore a Bob Marley wig. Okay, essentially, do I wear the wig since it's not touching my head? Oh, okay. Wow, that's fantastic. Live questions. This could start something very good. Live questions to someone we're not interviewing. Technically, you know.
Like a restraining order.
Well, Chris the Hype didn't show up, so pretty much anything goes. So, okay. I had many questions about, you know, he was in the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps.
Very interesting. Now, maybe he was afraid of Tomcat Jones hyping him up so much during episode 403 of The Sign of the Times.
Whoa, you bring up something pretty valid there.
Boy, that should have been it. He thought he couldn't live up to, ironically enough, the hype.
Yeah. Boy, that's a... Okay. Well, now, Sign, here's a question. Would you yourself like a 2020 calendar?
2020. I wouldn't mind one.
Well, all right. How about the Golden Songbird? I mean, there's got to be some overhead for this Grand Poobah hat she's going to make me. I mean, I can't come empty-handed.
Well, that's probably fair.
Oh, okay. Well, Sign, can you tell our listeners who we're going to have on this Sunday?
Yes. This Sunday, we will have former BCW YouTube champion Bob.
Oh, yeah, okay. Boy, that's you know, they 99% of me automatically gets along with Bob, but there's 1% of when I'm around Bob or have been around, I get a feeling of uneasiness, like I'm staring at a poltergeist. Bob, yes, there's something
it,
like
from his
1%
time with Petrov that causes that.
Yeah, I think so. Petrov sometimes casts a pall of a shadow around BCW. It's kind of like I've had Grigor Petrov pass by me, and a second later I'll feel a chill. Yes.
All right. Well, it looks like we have something with this, QT. We might have our guest. One moment here.
Hello?
Do we have the hype with this?
Yes, sir.
Well, Chris Hype Henry, thank you for joining us here today on Turnbuckle Trauma.
Am I on time?
Not quite. You're a bit late, but we are happy to have you on now.
So sorry. Work got me caught up. The shoot job got me caught up. But I'm here. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for
having me. Indeed. My co-host QT Vokes has to bail out in just a few minutes, but QT, if you had a couple of quick questions.
Well, sure. Did you go to boot camp at Camp Lejeune?
No. I went to boot camp on Paris Island. Swamp Dog, as they call us.
Are you familiar with a famed Marine Corps sniper, Carlos Hathcock, the guy the Viet Cong called White Feather?
The name sounds familiar. I gotta admit, I've been removed directly from the Marine Corps environment from my unit since 2015, which is when I actually started to pursue professional wrestling. So, but it does sound very familiar.
Oh, okay. Well, Carlos Hathcock was a Medal of Honor winner,
He was a rare recipient being alive when he won the Medal of Honor. He was one of the most famous snipers in military history. He was in the Marine Corps, and he assassinated a Viet Cong general behind enemy lines by crawling for 3 days and nights just to get a shot at him. And he pulled his men, fellow Marines, out of a burning half-track. And he set up the Marine Corps Sniper School at Quantico, Virginia.
That sounds like a Marine for you.
I was going to ask if you thought he would make a good baby face or heel.
You know, the thing about Marines is that we are built to be protectors. We're built to face an enemy under any circumstances. So as your friend, we are most definitely one of your best friends. But as your enemy, you better pray to God you take us down before we have our wits about us.
Well, I think you did very well in your match with Eli Daniels with that Matthias Darkthorn accompanying him in that red room with the artwork on the wall. That was very interesting.
Oh, thank you very much. That was actually my first year. That was my first year of wrestling. I've been doing it 4 years now, but that was in my first year when I used to wear my blue gear and volleyball knee pads.
Holy, so you moved very well for a first-year person. Very well.
Oh, thank you very much. I was trained by Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. I had a lot of athleticism for him to work with, but he basically made sure that I had very good footwork. He was very hard on me, very strict. So my work ethic was definitely at a high under his wing.
Wow. All right. Well, unfortunately, I have to go to my shoot job, which is down the hill from me. After I check in, I might call back in and see if you're still on the air, but I've got to check in with my headquarters.
All right. You're fine, my man.
Oh, okay. Well, Semper Fi, and look at the autobiography, or do a Google search on Carlos Hathcock, or who the Viet Cong called White Feather.
All right, I will do, sir, and thank you for the question.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Hype, we will give you the question we normally give people their first time on our show. You told us a little bit about training, but how did you get into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, a friend of mine actually was the one who wanted to do it. At the time, I was a quality control technician, which my job basically consisted, I was in this little laboratory just handling my day-to-day stuff, living a pretty peaceful life. A friend of mine said he wanted to do it. I said, all right, well, you know, I'll help you work out, because a Marine Corps background, he wanted somebody who's a tough son of a gun to get him in shape. Sure enough, though, he ended up quitting after a while, and then I kind of, I don't know, the ball just got rolling with me, man. I took to it like a fish to water.
I say it wasn't you initially that went to training to get professional wrestling training. You accompanied someone else. But had you been a fan of the business at that point, or was wrestling something foreign to you when you first started?
No, sir. I definitely was a fan beforehand. I grew up watching professional wrestling. Some of my favorites were Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels, the phenomenal AJ Styles. I followed him and his career over the years. So very big fan of the business. I loved watching pay-per-views growing up, Survivor Series, Bad Blood, of course, WrestleMania. So definitely a fan, and love that now I understand, to the best of my ability, understand the intricacies of the business.
For the people that are familiar with you, they will see that you do have a lot of athleticism. You have a very quick pace style, a lot of aerial maneuvers. You can also wrestle with a lot of the people as far as like technical wrestling goes. In your career so far, do you have a particular favorite style of professional wrestling to execute, be it the high-flying style or the more technical-based or more of a like a lucha style, anything like that that is particular fun for you to execute?
Actually, when I first started out, I was more off of just athleticism. I was, you know, jumping higher than my opponent. I was doing moves that maybe he wouldn't do. But as time has gone by and I've focused more and more on my craft, I can confidently say I'm probably one of the better all-around competitors that you could see on a show. I worked on my technical ability first, to the point that I'm extremely comfortable getting on the mat and doing mat-based wrestling and yanking someone's body in whatever direction I want and having full control. Then I think one of the last things I touched up on was my striking ability. I have some very nasty strikes, switchblade kicks, kicks to the back of the knee, to the side of the head, multiple different ways that I can do punches, back fists. So all in all, just if you name it, I probably can do it. I will say my power game's probably a little bit limited. I can lift quite a bit, but I mean, if I get in there with like a 300 pounder, it obviously ain't happening, bro. I can't throw that big, but I can throw some of the best guys that you've seen. But yeah, definitely an all arounder, and there's no particular style I'd say I'll stick with, and I like that because it makes me unpredictable.
Now, we have seen the rise in popularity of Lucha Libre wrestling in the United States over the last several years, with several of the Spanish broadcast networks on a lot of people's cable packages and streaming services. It's more accessible. We've seen a lot of Lucha Libre companies come up to the United States from Mexico and tour not just the Southwest anymore, but all over the United States. Do you think that Lucha Libre is something that you could excel at if given the opportunity?
You know, the funny thing is, I was just thinking about stuff like that a few weeks ago because, you know, obviously it's one more month and then we're into a whole new year. And next year I'm definitely thinking about trying some different things, which does include possibly having a luchador style that I would focus on. Looking into that realm of professional wrestling just to try a different avenue. See things through the eyes of a different type of competitor, and you know, see where that could go, because lots of guys have done things like that before. You've got Sami Zayn did El Generico. You've got Ricochet did, what was his name? Prince Puma.
Prince Puma.
So there's a multitude of guys who, you know, they donned a mask and tried Lucha Libre and having a lucha persona. And it's something that I've really thought about. I even already have the name in mind. I think I would go with the name Whiplash. Whiplash sounds about right for me if I were to become a luchador. But we'll have to see if all that plays out. We'll have to see if all that comes to fruition, because I'm kind of taking things baby step, bit by bit right now, trying to figure out exactly what the right avenue is, because there's so many opportunities in pro wrestling now.
That is definitely right. It's a really good time to be a professional wrestler with so many options being open in the last several months and over the last few years. Obviously, another important part of professional wrestling right now is merchandising. It's, of course, this time of year is when a lot of people will start buying Christmas gifts, Hanukkah gifts, what have you. And for the fans in their life, I'm sure they want to pick up some wrestling merchandise. Do you personally have a lot of merchandise available for fans that might want to take home a little piece of hype?
I do have some stuff up and coming. You can easily contact me on any of my social medias. I have a shirt design and hats. You can easily see the designs on my Instagram. And anyone who's interested, yes, these are coming to fruition. Let's see, I do have my original shirts as well. Not in all sizes, though. Those are limited, very limited. I think I have maybe like one or two extra larges left. So if you're interested in those and you want to message me, feel free as well. I even have action figures that you can order. Absolutely. I have action figures that you can order. So there's a multitude of merchandise that if people are interested in, you know, taking a little piece of Chris the Hype Henry, the Adrenaline Addict, home with them, you're more than welcome to, you know, hit me up anytime.
I'm sure fans definitely will want to put that on their gift list. The action figures sound very intriguing. You don't see a lot of people actually marketing themselves in action figure form. Now, you, of course, wrestle in the southeast part of the country around Georgia, Alabama, that area, and that has always been a very traditional hotbed of professional wrestling going back pretty much to the dawn of professional wrestling. We've always seen big crowds in that area. To this point in your career, what would you say has been the biggest crowd where you've wrestled?
The biggest crowd I have ever wrestled for to date was for it was a show at a theme park called Wild Adventures. The crowd was just shy of 2,000 people, just shy of it, and it was incredible. It was incredible. I had a triple threat match, and I did a dive off of the performance stage down into the crowd onto my opponent, and it drove them nuts. I'm talking, this is awesome, this is awesome. And then to make it even better, Ron Simmons, his music hits after the jump, and he comes out and says, "Damn!" And everybody lost it, and it was so cool.
That's pretty big when you have Ron Simmons himself coming out to make note of what you're doing in the ring. Now, one of the things that is sort of a hot topic this week in professional wrestling is commissions. Every state, of course, is different as far as if they are commissioned, what the regulations are, if they do have a commission. We've seen some very, very strict states. We've seen states that have a commission but are more lax. Have you had much interaction with the state athletic commissions in different places at this point?
You know, honestly, I have never bumped into anything like it. In the 4 years I've been doing this, almost going on five, I have never bumped into some type of commission that checked me for any type of licensing, blood work, anything. I just haven't bumped into it. I mean, maybe I'm lucky in that regard, but it honestly has never been an issue for me. And most promoters and bookers, after they see me do my thing, they usually do their best to take care of me. So it, for me in particular, it's never been an issue. And now I've wrestled in almost 20 states now. Almost 20 states. Close. A few more and I'll be there.
We're seeing a wrestling resurgence pretty much everywhere in North America, but here in our home area in the Pacific Northwest, wrestling is in particularly gotten very hot. There's several really, really good companies out there right now, a lot of them doing very well attendance-wise. Is the Pacific Northwest at all on your radar as far as a possible location for you to wrestle?
You know, that is definitely a biggie. A lot of states out west or in the Midwest, I'd say, I have not been able to break into places like Kentucky, Oklahoma. I haven't gone to Washington yet. There are a lot of those I have not been able to break out into at the moment. I would love an opportunity to do that, just to check it off the list and, you know, hey, add another location, another state that has seen what I'm capable of, as well as going overseas. I'm right now I'm staying in contact with some individuals who think they might be able to get me a UK tour. Hopefully that can come to fruition. And obviously the biggest thing is trying to get that good national television debut. Honestly, at this point, going on to my fifth year, those are the things that are left. Is, hey, let's find one of the national TV organizations. Let's try to get the rest of these states off the list, and let's go overseas.
Just to warn you in advance, if you do get to Kentucky, a very strict commission. I was just there a few weeks ago. I've had my license for quite a while, but I can tell you it's one of the more strict commissions. Now, another thing that pretty much every wrestler that has been around for any length of time has had to deal with is injury. That's just a normal part of the wrestling business. What are some of the injuries that you've had in the nearly 5 years that you've been wrestling?
Zero. I have never been injured. I've been able to take very good care of my body. I've been very fortunate, and I'm very tough. And I think that's something that a lot of my opponents don't understand, is that I'm a lot tougher than I look. He'll take a look at me. I'm not maybe the biggest guy, but trust me, bud, it takes a lot to put me down. And as far as any serious injuries, I have been very fortunate, and I have not suffered not one serious injury. And I hope to keep it that way.
I'm sure since you have been to so many places so far in your career, you have encountered a very, very large number of professional wrestling fans. Pretty much anyone that performs is going to have that one or two special moment with a fan where it was a really memorable, good moment for them to be able to interact with said fan.
what to date has been your favorite fan moment?
Oh, wow. That's a very good question. And I'm saying that not because it's hard to think of one. I'm saying that because that's not one of the questions that most people ask. So kudos to you for asking that question. Favorite fan moment. You know, doing this, I oftentimes don't realize if I'm making any impact on people, because when you're an independent wrestler, it's very hard to gauge your impact on the fans. It's very hard to gauge how much people are actually into your content. And sometimes you feel like, wow, you know, I'm on fire. Lots of people are checking out. I'm getting all these views. And then other times you're like, man, no one's really paying me half of mine. But every now and then I get these great moments. One in particular, when I was in Indiana, I had three or four individuals come up to me begging me for an autograph, saying they had seen me wrestle on YouTube before. And I was like, are you serious? Wow, people in another state checking me out. I didn't even, like, really? Wow, that's awesome. People that I had never seen before, doggone. They had apparently anticipated my arrival and said I was the most exciting person on the card. Another one was when I went to, I believe it was Missouri, or was it Mississippi? Daggum, I think it was Mississippi. I actually wasn't on the show. I was traveling with some friends to the show. And the funny thing is, and I'm not going to name the other wrestler. The other wrestler I was with, well, one of the other wrestlers I was with, it was a group of us. He was with me, and he goes, and he's talking to this guy. And mind you, this particular wrestler has been on Ring of Honor. He's been on Ring of Honor, and this is going to get a little bit funny. So he's been on Ring of Honor, and he's talking to this one guy out in Mississippi and telling him about how it is, and, you know, he did this and was having a good time. And I'm just standing there, you know, listening, you know, just enjoying my time there, enjoying being in the wrestling world. And as soon as he gets done, the guy goes, oh, well, that's cool. Well, I've heard of him, and points to me, and I'm like, It was funny, but it wasn't funny, but it was funny. And last but not least, I have to tell this one. There was this young man. He had to have been maybe 4 or 5 years old, and this is in my own hometown. I did a show, and he had apparently been coming to see a lot of my shows for a little while now, and I was just his absolute favorite. And he comes up, and he just hugs my leg, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know what, bud, I have to get it. And the picture is of me and him. It's on my Instagram. It's on my Facebook. This little guy was just – he thought I was larger than life. He thought I was Superman. And I was like, man, I gave him one of my last shirts that I had. I made sure to sign a photo for him and give it to him. And you know, once I get some of my new merchandise, I was like, hey man, I'm gonna send it to you, young man, as soon as it comes in. So I've had some great fan moments that, you know, keep me going.
It's not a huge thing this time of year, but during the spring and summer, we generally see a lot of promotions run outdoor events. Some promotions run mostly outdoor events as they run seasonally. I'm sure you've been on a few of those. Do you particularly enjoy wrestling outdoors, or do you prefer having a more traditional inside arena?
You know, it depends. It all depends. I could care less indoors or outdoors. What I care about is your professionalism of the show. I care about, okay, do you have guys who look like wrestlers, walk like wrestlers, are trained up? Are you paying a respectable amount for these individuals to put their bodies out there? Is your product, are you taking your product and putting it out there so that other people can see it and it can build? You know, all these little things that not everybody, that not every promoter, not every booker takes care of. There are lots that do it, but, you know, there's plenty that they don't, in all honesty. You know, I'm not gonna name names or anything. We're just gonna say a little bit recently, I was on a show, and we're gonna call it Show A. I was on Show A, and Show A made it seem like they were gonna have me on it long term, which is another thing I'm looking for. Is are you going to keep me long term? Do you have a game plan for me? Are you gonna give me, you know, good opponents, etc.? You know, are you gonna invest in me being on your roster? And they told me a lot of things. You know, they told me, oh, we want to do this with you, we want to do that with you, we want to put you against this guy. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. Now, mind you, after the first show, I come back with some other wrestlers, and sure enough, that went from, oh, we're going to do all those things, to, nah, we scrapped it all. So that really makes me lose heart. You know, it makes me lose faith in that promoter or that booker, and it makes me not want to be a part of said show because, hey, you're not taking what I take seriously. You know, I put a lot of work into my promos. I put a lot of work and effort into my training, and, you know, a lot of money goes into my gear and my presentation. So when you're taking that for granted, I'm not going to want to be a part of your showcase. On the other hand, there are fantastic shows that make sure to take care of their wrestlers, that, you know, respectively will hear them out on something that maybe they're interested in doing. And, you know, they form episodically so that, you know, if you're a fan of that show, you can keep up with it, and they invest in their guys. And to those promoters and bookers, I say, keep doing what you're doing. That is the way it's supposed to be done in my eyes.
A lot of times in independent wrestling especially, we see people that have to do the drives. They'll drive 8, 10, 20 hours to get to shows, hoping to catch on, hoping to get noticed by the bigger companies, so forth and so on. You've talked about being to 20 states so far. What's been the longest road trip that you've had to make thus far?
The longest road trip I think I've ever made is... I would have to say, and it was just the circumstances. So I went to MCW one time. And it was when I was riding with Anthony Henry, Trevor Ion, and Michael Spencer. Which there's no relation to Anthony Henry and me, by the way. I just want to point that out. Some people think that when I just say that. But no, there's no relation to me. But he is a fantastic wrestler. But anyways, he was on the card, and we rode, and we were cramped in that car. It was five of us, and it was a 13-hour drive there, a 13-hour drive back, and then the hours we had to go to get back to Douglasville and Atlanta to get home. It was a long drive. We were smushed. And in all honesty, nothing really came of that drive. I mean, it was cool to ride with Anthony Henry and become better acquainted with him and the woman in his life, Amber. But I personally, and it wasn't just after that one, it's other certain rides. When it comes to those things, I do believe in do the drives. But definitely be discerning as to what do you have to gain from the drive. Because in all honesty, I don't recall anything in particular coming of that drive when I went down there. So always make sure, hey, okay, who am I talking to possibly get on? Do I have my gear? do I have film to show these people? Is do I have the finances to make that trip? Because I remember also we were a little bit low on finances. I spent some of my last dollars to make sure I went. Now, that's not a problem for me now, especially because in, you know, my life away from wrestling, I work at a gym now. I work at a UFIT as an assistant GM. So that's my Clark Kent to my Superman job. But financially speaking, if I need to make a trip like that, I can do so. I would just say to anyone who is listening, any wrestler who's trying to get into it, you know, absolutely do the drive. But do be cautious and always ask yourself, what is coming of this drive? Who exactly am I talking? Do I know who to talk to get on? Do I know what I need to do to possibly further myself in the business?
Very sage advice for sure. Well, we got just a few minutes left, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to our listeners in closing, plug and promote anything and everything you would like, the upcoming appearances, merchandise, social medias, your favorite bakery, anything that you want, floor is all yours.
All right, awesome. Hey, to all you guys listening out there, thank you so much. I do apologize for my tardiness. You know, that's completely on me. But, hey, catch Chris the Hype Henry at your local wrestling shows. If you see me on that flyer, catch the Adrenaline Addict. And, hey, get ready for 2020. There's some great things that I have planned. You'll be seeing me at Eclipse Wrestling very soon out in Pennsylvania on the regular. They are getting ready to sign me to a regular deal each month for an extended period of time. Also, and I guess I can go ahead and reveal this, SPW, down there with guys like NLW's Barrington Hughes, the Cure Rivera, and hey, my brother from another mother, Trevor Ion, the Soldier of Misfortune, Graham Bell will be out there as well. That's down there in Florida, and a multitude of other things that are coming this way. And pretty soon, I will be officially announcing the final training facility I will be attached to. I've trained under Robert Gibson for 2 years plus. I trained with AR Fox for 6 months and then plus. And now I am going to basically be, this is the final training destination that I plan on being at consecutively and saying, hey, this guy trained me for X amount of time, this many years. So get ready for that announcement soon on my social medias, and here they are. You can follow me on Facebook, Chris Henry, Chris the Hype Henry, on YouTube, at Adrenaline Addict 777 for my Twitter and for my Instagram. Feel free to give me a follow and support me, guys. I need your help. Without you, Chris the Hype Henry doesn't exist. And thank you so much for having me, sir.
Our pleasure, for sure, to have you, and hopefully we will get to do this again in the future. So fans, definitely, if he's in your area, if he's coming to your neck of the woods, go buy yourself a ticket to check out Chris Hype Henry. Very, very good performer. I think you will be impressed if you give him a chance. Search him out on the YouTubes and the social medias, follow what he's doing. And as we wrap things up, we want to send our best wishes out to our former guest, my current booker as well in some places, Jake A.O., Joey Kid Owens. He had emergency surgery last week for a ruptured hernia, so hopefully he is doing much better and gets well soon. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Sunday, our guest will be Bob. So we don't know what we're going to get Sunday, but we definitely will have Bob on here, and we will talk with Bob. So join us and get out there, support your local wrestling wherever it is. Lots out there going on today and tomorrow. So find yourself a show, buy some merchandise, and support all the wrestling all around you.